Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Zach Reagan. He covers the Tennessee Volunteers with A to Z Sports. They have a couple of players that have potentially been mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs, two very talented players last year from the SEC. Zach, how you doing, my man?
Good. How's it going today?
Doing great. Zach, before we get to these draft prospects, what has it been like to cover the Vols for these last 2 weeks that they have been in the center of the college football NIL debates?
Tennessee always has a way of creating some interesting storylines in the offseason. So we thought we were going to get through this one unscathed, but, you know, lo and behold, late in the spring, they make it as crazy as ever. So it's been a wild ride the past 2 weeks.
And, Zach, especially coming off a year in which you guys made the college football playoff, I mean, this is one of the better Tennessee Volunteer years in the last decade or so. This offseason was supposed to be a celebration. Hey, we're going back to the playoff next year. Maybe we can win the SEC. But it has been kind of mired in controversy around your quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we kind of thought this was going to be a quiet offseason, not a lot of storylines going into the fall, just kind of everybody stay healthy and, you know, see if they can pick up where they left off last season, maybe add a little bit of talent to the transfer portal. And I mean, now you got to replace your quarterback. You don't even know who's going to be under center for the first game of the season next year against Syracuse. So they find a way to keep it compelling.
Let's talk about a couple of the players that you guys have that are heading to the National Football League. Let's talk about James Pierce. I think he was one of the better pure pass rushers last year in college football. What do you make of his transition from college to the pros?
Yeah, it was, you know, about a year ago, some people had him as maybe the number one overall pick, and then throughout the season, he didn't have quite as many sacks last year for Tennessee. Part of that's because early in the year, he wasn't playing, you know, the entire game against some of the weaker competition. Tennessee likes to rotate their guys in and out quite a bit on that defensive line. And then you had some like character concerns pop up. That kind of came out of nowhere a little bit because he really didn't cause a lot of drama when he was at Tennessee. You know, with all this NIL stuff, especially with the Nico stuff, you kind of expect that now, but that never really came up with him. There was no you know, vague tweets or anything like that. So not really sure where we stand on the character concern stuff because I didn't see a lot of that. But just as a pass rusher, man, he was always so dynamic at Tennessee. I mean, you saw other teams game planning for him, kind of helping out. You know, sending other guys his way, which freed up other guys. So he made an impact even when he wasn't generating those like crazy sack numbers. But, you know, I think he's a guy that can be an instant impact pass rusher guy. I don't know if his game is complete enough to be an every down guy yet, but he definitely seems like a first round talent.
From just how you describe Pierce and the season that he had this past season at Tennessee, it sounds a lot like a prospect that listeners are going to be able to identify with Luther Burden. Had a dominant sophomore year. You kind of expected him to take that jump from year two to year three. It didn't happen, but all of the talent is there. And if he puts it together, he can be a very good pro. All of that sounds like what you're describing with James Pierce.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, he, I don't know if it's just the extra pressure that comes along with some of the hype that got put on him going into his junior season or just teams game planning. against him. You know, they were trying to get the ball out quick. If you watched a lot of Tennessee games last season, most of the teams they were playing weren't trying to sit in the pocket and hit a lot of shots downfield. They were trying to run these short routes to kind of game plan away from him to keep their quarterback clean in the pocket, you know, not expose him to Pierce coming off the edge. But there were definitely some moments where you saw the flashes of that elite talent where he would just manhandle, you know, a left tackle or a right tackle and it made it look like he was playing against high school competition at times. So the flashes were there. And, you know, Kansas City, I mean, where else, you know, that's kind of the place you would want to go to get developed, you know.
You mentioned some character concerns with Pierce. Are they enough to scare you away? I mean, I know you don't cover the Chiefs on a day-in, day-out basis, but you follow football. You certainly know the Chiefs have had their run-ins with questionable decision-making and character. Would you be hesitant to bring a guy like Pierce into your locker room or take a chance on him?
The thing with Pierce is I never really got the sense that he was a problem for Tennessee. Like I said, he was kind of an enigma. He didn't speak a lot. They didn't make him available to the media a lot. I don't think he liked doing a lot of that stuff. He was just kind of a head down, go play kind of guy. Even during the recruiting process, he wasn't really that hyped. When he signed with Tennessee, it was late in the process. It was almost kind of like an afterthought. Like he wasn't one of these guys that was trying to get his name out there and going to all these camps and trying to get shout outs on social media all the time. He just played football. So, some of these concerns, they talk about his coachability. I wonder if it's not just a personality deal where people haven't got the chance to really sit down and talk to him and get the gist of who he is. You know, back during the combine, I felt like he made an effort to, you know, he sat down and did some interviews with like NBC Sports and some other people that were there at the combine. And I felt like that was kind of to change the perception of who he is as a player. So, yeah, I don't think he was a troublemaker type guy. I think they just wonder how coachable he is, but that might just be because he's a quiet guy.
Zach Reagan covering the Tennessee Volunteers. Do you see any player comparison for him? Is somebody who's watched his 3 years at Tennessee, is there an NFL player that he reminds you of?
He's just kind of more of like right now, he seems like a rotational guy. Any guy that you see that comes in on like first and second down, right, that's brought in just to specifically rush the passer. I mean, there's a ton of those guys. He's not a three-down, four-down guy quite yet because there's concerns about his run defense. And that's another thing, too, where, you know, that wasn't something he was asked to do a lot at Tennessee. Like, they were using him on early downs. They were subbing him out for some of their bigger guys in later downs run, you know, or early downs running downs. So he might just be a pass rush specialist for now. And maybe that's something he can grow into as he kind of gets coached in those areas, adds some weight to his frame. But really, any kind of rotational pass rusher is really what he reminds me of specifically.
He feels like the prototypical right there on the fringe. You could tell me that James Pierce goes 22 in this year's draft, it wouldn't shock me. You could tell me that Pierce goes 42 in this year's draft, and it wouldn't surprise me. Do you think he ends up being on the first round, or do you think he's going to have to wait until Friday to hear his name called?
Man, that's a really tough call because I think nobody really knows where his draft stock is. I agree with you. He seems like a guy that maybe he even goes as high as like 15 to one of those teams, or maybe he falls to the end of the second round. I think it really depends on how NFL teams really view him. I know this time of year, it's tough to know, you know, so much information flying around as far as his character concerns, what's true, what's not, are people trying to manipulate where he falls in the draft and this and that. So I tend to think he'll go in the first round. It might be the later half of the first round because I think his talent, just his natural physical ability, is going to be too tempting to pass up.
Let's talk about the running back that you guys have, Dylan Sampson. Right now we're taking a closer look at a couple of the players who have been mocked to Kansas City. We just talked about James Pierce, a very talented pass rusher. Let's talk about Dylan Sampson. I think that he was one of the five best running backs in college football last year. I'm a little surprised that there's not more buzz surrounding him coming into the league.
Yeah, I think some of that might have to do with Tennessee's offense. I know there's a lot of people skeptical about their kind of wide-open offense and the way they run those wide splits and create some nice running lanes. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm a big fan of Sampson, not just because of the way he plays, but just who he is as a person, as a player. He's one of Tennessee's main team leaders, and I know you guys have Trey Smith out there, a former Vol, and he reminds me a lot of Trey Smith in his demeanor, just that he wants to win He wants to be a part of a winning culture. He's a team-first guy. And I think that's as important as what he can do on the field.
I'm looking at a player comparison for him, and I see Brian Westbrook. My question, I guess, with that is, do you see him as that level of pass catcher? I think he is that level of talent out of the backfield, but what made Brian Westbrook so special was his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and be that dual threat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Brett, do you think that Samson can be that?
I think that's the big question with him because he wasn't asked to do that at Tennessee a lot. Tennessee doesn't throw to their running backs a lot because they have those wide splits. They like to use their running backs in pass protection on passing plays, and it's something I think they should do a little more is get the ball to those running backs, but they really don't ask them to catch the ball a lot. I think he had like 20 catches last season, and he played a lot of downs last year for Tennessee. He was their primary running back, didn't come off the field very much. I think that's something he's been looking to prove during this draft process as he meets with teams and works out for teams. It's kind of an unknown. I tend to think he can do it just because he's so driven and he's so good in space. When he gets in the open field, he's able to break tackles. It's just the question of, can he actually do it, because we haven't seen
him. You mentioned the scheme a couple of times. Do you think that there is a chance that he is a system runner, that he just benefited from being in the right system at the right time?
I think there's always that possibility with some of these guys coming out of Tennessee, because we have seen some guys come from that system, specifically wide receivers, that haven't fared that well in the NFL so far. Jalin Hyatt, Velus Jones, Cedric Tillman, you know, with the Browns, caught on a little bit last season, but they do put their players in advantageous positions, and I think they're always going to face those questions a little bit. But I think with Samson, he's shown the ability to break tackles. He has good vision. He hits the hole hard. He's kind of that one-cut-and-go guy, and I think his game translates to the next level as long as he can hold up physically.
We're talking about a player who at the combine measured at 5'8", 200 pounds. Do you see him as an every down back? He got a lot of wear and tear in college. We're now moving up to a higher level, bigger, stronger, faster, more physical league. Do you see him as being an every down back, or do you see him as being a change of pace player?
There's a chance he could be that change of pace type guy. Last season, you know, his first 2 years at Tennessee, he had 184 total touches. So, you know, he's playing behind Jalin Wright and Jabari Small. Last season, he was the guy, and he had 278 touches. And, you know, they got into that college football playoff game against Ohio State in December, and he only played 16 snaps because he, you know, had a hamstring. Just wasn't able, you know, just wore down by the end of the season. So he took a lot of hits last season. He did everything he could to stay on the field. He still got to prove he can be durable. You know, is he going to be a 300 carry guy in the NFL? I don't know if that's reasonable, especially at his size. He showed he's willing to carry the load, but, you know, willing to and being able to are two different things.
That was Zach Reagan, who covers the Tennessee Volunteers. They have a couple of players who could potentially head to the Kansas City Chiefs. They have a very talented running back in Dylan Samson. He was one of the better running backs last year in college football. They also have James Pierce.